Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 31. Deshe shucha same rajan samstapyasanam atmanaha stiram sukham samam tasmin asitarj vanga om iti deshe shuchau same rajan samstavyasanam atmanaha stiram sukham samam tasmin nasi tarjvanga om iti. Samstabhyasanam atmanaha sukhyam sukham samam tasmin nasiyar jayana omiti. Ladies. Samstabhyasanam atmanaha Siram sukham samam tasmin nasi adar omiti deshe in a place shuchau very sacred same level rajan O king samstapya placing asanam on the seat, atmanaha, oneself, stiram, very steady, sukham, comfortably, samam, equipoise, tasmin, on that sitting place, asita, one should sit down, Riju, Anga, the body perpendicularly straight. Om, the Vedic mantra, Pranava. Iti, in this way. My dear King, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or low. There one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Please repeat, my dear King, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or low. There one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Purport. Generally, the chanting of Om is recommended because in the beginning, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yaj gyanam avyam Prameti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Unless one is fully convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has a tendency to become an impersonalist yogi, searching for the Supreme Lord within the core of his heart. Dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa pashantiyam yoginaha. Here the chanting of Omkar is recommended because in the beginning of transcendental realization, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one may chant Omkar, pranava. There is no difference between the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Omkar, because both of them are sound representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all Vedic literatures, the sound vibration, Omkar is the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difference between chanting Omkar and chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is that the Hare Krishna Mantra may be chanted without consideration of the place or the sitting arrangements recommended in Bhagavad Gita. 6.11. Suchao deshe pratishtatya stiryam asanam atmanaha natyu tritam nachinitvam chailajina kushotaram. Practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place, should lay kusha grass on the ground, and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low, should be situated in a sacred place. The Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted by anyone without consideration of the place or how one sits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has openly declared, Niyamita Smaranena Kalaha. In chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are no particular injunctions regarding one's sitting place. The injunction Niyamita Smaranena Kalaha includes Desha, Kala, and Patra, time, place, time, and the individual. Therefore, one may chant the Hare Krishna Mantra without consideration of the time and place. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to find a suitable place according to the recommendations of Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna Mantra, however, may be chanted at any place, at any time. This will bring results very quickly. Yet even while chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one may observe regular principles. While sitting and chanting, one may keep his body straight, and thus will help the chanting process. Otherwise, one may feel sleepy. So the text again. Deshe shuchau same rajan samstavyasanam atmanaha stiryam sukham samam tasmin asitarj vanga om iti. Madhura king, in a sacred and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. Place must be level and not too high or low. There one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamane, Namaste Sarasatundeve, Kauravani Pracharane, Nirvi Shesha Shunavadi Paskya Dhyade Siddharane. Here is a description of the Ashtanga Yoga process. Ashtanga Yoga process is ultimately part of the path of self-realization and ultimately Krishna consciousness. And the first thing is to avoid distractions. The material world means everyone's moving around, trying to get essentially the grass which is underneath their feet. Prabhupada gives the example that the ass carries a very heavy load on his back and he works very hard running after the carrot in front of him. But essentially, he never gets the carrot until the end of the day, where the washerman, by his mercy, finally gives him the carrot and allows him to eat the grass underneath his feet. So similarly, everyone in this material world is rushing here and there, as Prabhupada used to say, essentially just trying to get some food, place to sleep, some comfort, some security, and that's it. But they'll make millions and billions of dollars and make so many arrangements here and there just to get something which, relatively speaking, is quite easy. But they made everything very complicated, and the more they make it complicated, the more they glorify themselves how advanced the civilization is and how primitive the other civilizations were, where people could simply wake up in the morning, go outside and pick their breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and didn't have to go, as Prabhupada said, 50 miles in order to make a living through 3 hours of traffic. After cultivating karma yoga, dutiful activities, then one will see that whether one has the duty of a Brahmin or a Shudra or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, everyone gets what they need to eat if one does his duty. And therefore, one can become relatively peaceful. That yes, today I'm going to get something to eat, and tomorrow I'll get something to eat. There'll be a place to sleep. And therefore, the mind will become peaceful enough so that one will not worry so much about the future. Why do people read the newspapers? Essentially because they cause you to be worried. Maybe Iran has built an atomic bomb and they're sending the first one free of charge, express to Los Angeles. No return. So everyone's worried, let's read the newspaper, you know, do they have the finger on the trigger yet, etc. So people are worried, and therefore the newspapers try to put people in anxiety just so that they can worry, and by worrying they sell more newspapers, getting people to worry. And the advertisers, they support such a presentation of the current situation because they sell more, they get more customers for their advertisements. That they advertise, we have a solution to all your worries, from the toothpaste to the iPad to the new car, we're going to solve all your worries. If they throw an atomic bomb at us, our iPads will reprogram the bomb and send it back to them. You have to have the right app, though, application. But actually, we made things complicated, and therefore people can't really hear the truth. Even we listen to the truth ourselves, how our body is changing, and yet we ourselves, throughout all these changes of body, we've never changed, and therefore we should become immediately joyful, prasanatma, knowing that we're eternal. There's nothing to worry about. This evening I go to Australia, and they say in Australia, no worries, mate. But everyone's worried, although they keep on saying no worries. But everyone's worried because they haven't heard the fact that this body, although it's temporary, inside the body there's an eternal soul, and luckily it happens to be ourselves, that we're all eternal. Therefore, we should be immediately joyful. But why are we not joyful? Because we're not hearing properly. And why are we not hearing properly? Because whether we're conscious or not, all these different anxieties are running, covering our consciousness, and therefore we don't hear properly, we don't perceive things properly, and we don't, therefore, we're an illusion. But luckily, the devotees find the process of doing dutiful activities, like especially chanting Hare Krishna regularly every day, come into the program. Gradually, these things are diminishing, and therefore, it becomes more apparent the fact that we are eternal and we should be prasannatma, we should be joyful. That's normal. Not that, why are you smiling so much? People, they see the devotees, why are they smiling so much? They must be on drugs or something. It's abnormal to be so joyful. But actually, it's normal. That's the normal condition. This is a disease condition, being morose. People think, oh, I'm morose. Well, I'm more morose than you are. You think you're bad. Let me tell you what happened to me. No, being joyful is the normal condition. And if one does his duties dutifully, then one gets the peace of mind to hear the philosophy, jnana, and one realizes gradually what to do in order to realize our eternal position as a soul. And above jnana is the practical work of applying that jnana. So here, this application of the jnana to realize the spiritual nature is Astanga Yoga. And as Prabhupada mentions here, that we should not decry Astanga Yoga, that this is primitive method of self-realization, meant for some primitive people in Satya Yuga who don't know how to chant Hare Krishna. Because we're learning how to chant Hare Krishna ourselves, but it's not a primitive process. It's a process that we ourselves are also following. Yama, Niyama, well, we have the four of the principles which summarize Yama and Niyama, and other things like Ishvara Padana, and, well, there's Asteya, there's Socham, there's Aparigraha, there's Tapasya. So there are so many principles within the Yama and Niyama, and we're also trying to follow them. It's not that we're so advanced in the Hare Krishna movement, we're so transcendental, we don't have to worry about any regular principles or cleanliness or austerity. These things, we've passed them far beyond. Therefore, we can eat anything at any time. We can say anything to anyone, and we're devotees, and we have the magical, you know, we have our dhoti on and sari, and it'll protect us. The magical cloaks. Unfortunately, the material nature does not work that way. We may think ourselves to be infallible with our armor of a dhoti or sari on, with the sacred mantra of the tilak embedded within our foreheads. No, still we're under the laws of nature, and therefore, as long as we're in illusion, we have to follow the process of yama, niyama, and that's only a summary of it. And then, what is the result? Asana. So sometimes the devotees think, oh, just like one time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and there was one man in the park, and he was standing on his head, and all the devotees, and Prabhupada asked the devotees, is that our man? And the devotees said, oh, no, Prabhupada, we don't do those silly things. When the devotees really, we don't do things like that. So Prabhupada said, no, that's all right. These things are good. Shirshasana, Sarvangasana, so many different postures. He said, this is very good. And one devotee said, but Prabhupada, we don't have time for those things. And Prabhupada said, yes, because he's too busy eating, sleeping. Because at the end of the walk, when Prabhupada was in his car, the devotee ran up to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, should we do those things? And Prabhupada said, not necessary. But asana is actually necessary. We have to be in some kind of comfortable, secure position, steady position, or else we won't be able to chant Hare Krishna and listen. Not only listen, what does listening actually mean? Does it mean just, you know, suddenly my mind, I'm not attracted to the fluctuations of my mind for a few minutes, and therefore I'm finally actually listening? No, listening is much deeper than just not being disturbed or distracted by the fluctuations of the mind. It means to actually be feeling Krishna's presence in his holy name, in the philosophy, to actually be immersed like in an ocean, when the ocean wave comes over one, one becomes immersed in the ocean wave. So in the same way, one has to become immersed in the sound vibrations about Krishna, especially the holy name. And then that's actually listening. That means that one has to become receptive to the holy name. Not only listening, but receptively listening. Shushusho shradanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirte nishevana. So therefore the word sushusho is used, which implies receptive listening. And with the idea receptive listening implies receptive to the order also of service. That not only that we're receptively listening, but if there is some service being done, it should be done with care and attention. So our services are variegated, including the chanting of Hare Krishna as a service. So it should be done with great care and attention. So for attention, it means at least when we're chanting, we should not be distracted by other things, and therefore it's recommended to chant in the temple, because generally there's less distraction, especially for those of us who have computers. There's a tendency to hear, you know, so many different distractions. The computer will distract us to, before the modern age when people became civilized, in the prehistoric times, we didn't have computers, which is far beyond anyone's memory now, because people have very short memories. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, these things didn't exist. You would actually walk into people's houses or into their room, there was no computer there. Imagine how people could actually survive without a computer. It's rather amazing. And there was even a time there was no calculators. People could actually add numbers without a calculator. In any case, we're in the modern age and there's so much distraction. And therefore, we have to put ourselves in a position where there will be less distraction and some place which is comfortable. If the temple room was freezing cold and, you know, it's minus 10 outside and inside the temple is minus 20, and we're sitting there chanting japa, we'd probably be thinking about the cold more than anything else. We're not exactly on the position. Most of us are probably not on the level of perfection where we'd think, oh, this is not austere enough. It's only minus 20 inside the temple. They should lower the temple, otherwise that way I can concentrate more on the holy name. Lower the temperature in the temple. There has to be some degree of comfort, which may vary according to different people, may have different degrees of comfort. Not everyone's the same. But we should be a little comfortable and a little situated in a place which is stable, not so much distractions, so we can chant Hare Krishna and concentrate on chanting very nicely with care and attention, and then hearing very attentively and receptively. And the result is we should actually be thinking about Krishna, or at least feeling his presence, because if we think about Krishna without feeling his presence, then Krishna may appear to us as something material. Without feeling this, without being absorbed in the spiritual nature of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna consciousness really remains on the mental platform or on the material platform. It has to be actually ecstatic first. Then we can appreciate Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes of the nature of ecstasy. Otherwise, if we remember his name, form, quality, and pastimes, without the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, then it becomes more or less a meditation which may appear to us as something external or mundane. Therefore, we have to become receptive, and receptive means we have to become receptive to the orders of Krishna coming down through the disciple succession. No one can become receptive to Krishna without becoming receptive to his instructions. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, so he could become receptive to his instructions, and when Arjuna agreed to follow out his instructions, then he became receptive to Krishna. Similarly, unless we feel ourselves to be the servant of the servants of Krishna, we won't be receptive to the devotees when they chant Hare Krishna. And therefore, we won't be receptive to Krishna in that way either. So one has to become receptive to Krishna, the orders of disciple succession, coming down through the bona fide spiritual masters since time immemorial. And that means wherever the bona fide message is being distributed, we have to become receptive to that. And perhaps to different degrees, it's being distributed to different degrees in different places. But certainly to the place where it's purely being distributed, the messages, then we have to become receptive as a servant to that message. And especially we have to see whether or not and how Krishna wants us to carry out that service that he may be giving us. In any case, if we serve faithfully the orders of Krishna as they're appearing before us through the representatives of the Guru Parampara and through Krishna's books such as Bhagavad Gita, then the result is then we develop receptivity to the message of Krishna. And as we carry it out, then Krishna will become kind upon us and purify us so that the receptivity will become more and more profound. And as we chant Hare Krishna, we'll actually feel Krishna's presence and feel the unlimited happiness which is possible as we become more and more receptive, more and more surrendered. We're surrendering not simply as a matter of fear or that we have no alternative, we have to surrender or else Krishna will break our arm. Indra standing with the thunderbolt waiting for those who are not receptive. Yamaraj is writing down everything we're doing. And we're not surrendering simply out of fear, although fear may be utilized in the process of surrender, but there has to be more than fear. When we go about the spiritual world and we see Krishna, we see his associates, and we're just like, oh, don't hurt me. I'll do whatever you want, but don't hurt me. Don't kick me back there. No, it has to be out of receptivity, out of a genuine desire and taste, out of love, out of a higher taste, experiencing the ecstasy, the love of Krishna consciousness. Then as we develop that receptivity, then automatically all our other causes of anxiety, all the other misconceptions we have will all go away, because as we become receptive to Krishna, then automatically it will become unreceptive to illusion. And all the other processes are there also. Pranayama means that the mind is, pranayama is a means by which the mind becomes purified, becomes steady and stable, so that we can actually meditate. And we can concentrate, and ultimately we can become undisturbed and feel Krishna's presence in every sphere of our lives. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, if you look at Prabhupada's in the Veda base, what Prabhupada said, I even wrote to Prabhupada about that one time. I said, Srila Prabhupada, can I think of Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting Hare Krishna? So Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, no, you shouldn't think of Krishna's pastimes when you chant Hare Krishna. You should simply chant and listen. And if Krishna's pastimes come spontaneously, that's very nice, but not that artificially we're trying to remember them. So there's no need to think of Krishna's pastimes. If we simply chant and we try to become, not just listen, but become receptive, try to feel Krishna's presence, then we'll feel, if we, as we desire that, as we're actually listening and try to become receptive to Krishna's presence, undistracted by our material thoughts and feelings, then the result is we'll experience transcendental pleasure. And if we artificially try to think of Krishna's pastimes. We may temporarily be able to do that, but we'll become distracted very easily. It's not. So better to chant Hare Krishna and learn how to take shelter of the holy name, not take shelter of something else first. Without taking shelter of the holy name, it's unlikely we can understand what Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes are. Yes.
Perhaps you can tell us a little about the difference between the actual goal of the Ashtanga Yogi and the Bhakti Yogi, the difference in the goal and the difference of the effects that each goal brings, since there are definitely distinct differences.
Not necessarily. The goal of each one of them could be exactly the same. Even Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita.
But let me clarify the question a little bit more. Yes, the goal of
the thing is Sankhya Yoga.
Huh?
Your thing is Sankhya.
Well, no, the goal is God realization in both.
Yeah.
But each accomplishment of God realization in each has different effects. A person who is focusing on the heart may be either having just super soul realization and maybe seeing the super soul, or he may be concentrating beyond that and going into the Brahma Jyoti. So or I wanted you to perhaps go. But the Bhakti Yogi, when we actually read about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we see his ecstasies, they're in a completely different realm. I thought you might talk a little about the difference.
Yeah, well, I was going to clarify, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samam Pashani Sarvatra, Pajanyat Astitam, is that right? That one who understands that Sarabhutastam Yomam, Bhajanye Katmam Astita, Sarvata Vatmano Yanopi, Sayogi Mai Vartate. The yogi who knows that I am the Super Soul dwelling within all beings is one, worships me and always remains in me in all circumstances. So we have the example of Kardama Muni, who is also an Ashtanga Yogi, but when he realized Krishna, he became a pure devotee also. So the Ashtanga Yoga can go beyond Brahman and Paramatma. It could also go up to Bhakti. But generally, because of lack of association, lack of understanding what the goal is, therefore generally the Ashtanga Yogis remain in a lower platform. Usually they don't even get up to Brahman realization. But it's a question of knowledge and association with the pure devotees to understand. Because we have the example, for instance, Samaka Rishi. He was, according to Prabhupada, described as on an equal level as Pariksha Maharaj. Because although he was meditating on the Super Soul, he was doing it as a matter of devotion rather than just dry meditation. So that depends. So in Satya Yuga, the process was actually meditating on, by the Ashtanga Yoga process, on Krishna and everything about Krishna, actually absorbed in the trance. And that is our goal also. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse number 28, that Prabhupada finally says, he says the first stage is accepting religious principles and acting piously, then tolerating the dualities of material existence, then accepting the path of devotional service, understanding the truth about the personality of Godhead, and then meditating on trance upon the personality of Godhead. So that is our goal, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always in trance, meditating upon Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. So that's possible even for the Ashtanga yogis if they get the right association. But for us, we have an active, we're not going to be Ashtanga yogis. It's not that, that is not the process in this age. By the chanting Hare Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we're actively engaged in propagating the holy name and spreading Krishna consciousness. So Ashtanga Yoga is not the process in this age. But by doing that, one day we'll come to the platform, as it says in Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when the spiritual master has become very perfect and his disciples are going out and spreading the holy name, then he can peacefully sit and meditate in trance upon Krishna in samadhi. So that's also our goal, one day, to be able to do that, even a pravada until the end of life, for like Arjuna, for Krishna's mission. Is that right? Anything else? Thank you very much. It was nice being here. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Give all my offenses. Thank you for your association. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Thank you.